Good morning, guys. Yeah, so I'm not going to deliberately try and preach stuff that's hard or down the line, but I think we're in a season at the moment, Sherry and I, where we have a very deep desire for radical Christianity again, just in our own lives. We've recently, as Dan said, moved to Ballito, and that kind of was sparked through, again, I think us spending time with the Lord and saying, Lord, we are comfortable, and we know you have not created us for being comfortable and staying comfortable. So, Lord, what is next? Where do you want us next? And then only a few weeks later, we moved. And then moved the whole family. But we love the fact that we are again uncomfortable. We've become comfortable with being uncomfortable. And we are seeing the Lord do incredible things in Durban North, the congregation we've taken over. It's not been easy. If anything, it's cost us quite a bit. But we are really grateful that Jesus is using us for some reason that he sees fit. And I want to share a message with you this morning, really around the kingdom. And I want to say it probably is going to be pretty down the line. And I did share a similar message recently in the Eastern Cape in Jeffreys Bay, which was so amazing. I just want to say there's something happening in J-Bay, Oxygen Life, at the moment that is absolutely beautiful. There's a sense of the Lord taking a hold of people's lives in a town that is quite struck with idolatry around themselves, comfort, complacency, a wave that is a world-class wave, but people go there to live there, to be comfortable. And I was so encouraged by 40, 50 people that are so keen to, not keen, they are desperate to lay down their lives for a king and his kingdom. And so this morning, I'm actually going to preach to you what I believe, again, is a radical gospel. Because I feel like, to be honest with you, the easy gospel creeps in a lot quicker and easier than what we think. And so I want to start off by encouraging you and giving you a promise from Jesus himself that he spoke to his disciples and I think some standing around as well. But then how this promise comes with a decision. And I felt this morning, not prophetically, although it might be prophetic for some of you based on where you're at in your life right now and what you're facing and the situations that you're facing, but I feel like for many of us this morning, the extent to which we will see his kingdom be the center of our lives will be based on the decision that we make this morning. It's a decision. And sometimes I think as Christians, we think it's this thing that'll just take place. It'll just happen. I'll come to meet Jesus and his kingdom will just be there. It'll just be the center of my life. And this morning, I feel like some of us will be provoked to make decisions. Or a decision, really. So just by show of hands, I love when I preach. This is a creak that's quite interesting. I'll just do this. And I like walking around. So I like being interactive when I share. So I want to ask you by show of hands, how many of you are currently facing not necessarily a sin issue, but a challenge that you really need the Lord to break through in your life? It keeps coming up. That's radical. That's radical. And for some, it might be something that you faced for years. The same thing. Maybe it's a worry. Maybe it's an anxiety, a fear. Maybe it's a sense of identity. Maybe it's whatever it is, it just rears its head. And then you've got to almost find the Lord again and deal with it and maybe get perspective, sit with guys, have coffee. And you've got to get some tools on how to deal with this thing so that the kingdom can be center again. It could be a measure of the way you've navigated this thing, this area that you are putting your hand up for, that you're sort of navigating, you know how to get on top of it again. And how many of you would love to, despite of this thing that you're facing or having to get perspective or come through again, you want to just be in a place, no matter what this thing is, to be able to say, Lord Jesus, you are King of kings and Lord of lords, and your goodness is not based on the measure to which you are bringing me through a hard time or not. It's just a truth. How many of you want to hold on to that reality and that truth no matter what this thing is that you're facing? And I this song that we sang earlier, I loved it. I think it's a great song, but something about it just struck me, which I think creeps into the way we follow the Lord sometimes, which I think is quite interesting. And it's a lens that we adopt. And there's a lot of truth in it. Lord, we lift your name on high. Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives, which we need to do. We need to be grateful and in awe of the things God has done in our lives. Amen? And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. The thing is, if we are always worshiping God through the good things he's done in our lives, then we only worship God when he's doing good things in our lives. Then we begin to only see his holiness, the fact that he's king, when there's good things happening in our lives. His kingdom is central only when he's busy delivering us from the issues in our lives. And recently, Sherry and our little boy, Jesse, he's got this incredible mullet that we've cut. It's his dad just, for those of you that don't know what a mullet is, it's a hairstyle. I wish I could put it up. It's his dad living his hairstyle dreams through his son. It really is. I was going there and then I cut it off. I realized I can't. It's just based on what I do, it's just not possible. And Stephen Furtick doesn't have a mullet, so I'm not gonna go there. And anyway, sidetrack. He was in a hospital. He had gastro. He had something else. He had something else. He had three different things, and he picked up adenoid virus, which is quite a extreme thing. And he was in hospital for 4 days, basically just not even awake. He was just laying there on drips and stuff. And Sherry and I had the very rare opportunity to sit for hours and talk. And we talk every day. We have deep conversations, and we have an incredible marriage. And that's the thing. But in the hospital, we were just talking. And we began to speak so passionately in the hospital room that the nurse came in and said, "Hey, are you guys okay?" Because she thought we were fighting, but we weren't. There was just something that God had been impressing on our hearts, and Sherry sharing her heart with me, and I begin to, but that's exactly what Jesus has been saying to me, and there's just a connection, and we're talking about something of his kingdom, and then this nurse is concerned for our marriage, but everything's fine. And the thing we spoke about is Sherry said to me, "Babes, are you not completely tired of sitting across the table from people that constantly verbalize their needs and what they need prayer for and what they need this for and what they need God to do and what they..." Man, it's great, because God does do things in our lives, and he wants us to ask. The Bible says so. But man, when last did you sit across from someone that says, "I encountered Jesus this morning. I just want to tell you about my encounter with him. I had a moment in worship with him, and man, I was on my face. I was late for work." When last did you have an encounter with him and who he is, just based on who he is and not what he's doing for you? In the bigness of who he is, what you're going through becomes pale. It's kind of what Dan was sharing this morning. We become so focused on our stuff and how he can help us with our stuff. And it's actually my life, and I try to build him onto aspects of my life. And so I want to start off, like I said, with an encouragement. We're going to read through Matthew 6, verse 25. And it's a beautiful encouragement, I believe, for us this morning. It says, the title is, "Do Not Worry." This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. "Do not worry. Worry. Verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin." Before I carry on reading, I want you to almost envision whatever you put your hands up for. And in contrast, listen to a promise, not of some person, but of your Savior, your Lord, your King. That's who he is. "Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these.
If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry by saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do you know that this is a promise that the Lord makes to us? And I asked you earlier, which of you are tired of having that thing rearing its head? And you know, if it's a sin thing, you need to repent of that thing and you need to walk away from it, you need to break free from it, and you need to allow Jesus to come and heal you and mend you and walk in accountability and walk in the light. And I'm not talking about a sin thing. I'm talking about a thing that touches your soul all the time. It tries to come back on and sit on the throne of your heart all the time. Do you know that there's a throne in your heart? Do you know who's meant to occupy that throne? It's Jesus. And the reality is, just like back in the day before Saul was made king, the people of God didn't have a king. They had Samuel. And he was leading them. And then they looked at the other nations. They were the chosen, the set apart ones, the ones with the promise, the ones that were being led by God somewhere. And they said, I don't have the scriptures here because I wasn't planning on going here, but they said, give us a king like that of the other nations. They wanted to be like the other nations. Do you know why that's important? It's important because us as God's chosen, set apart, holy ones, we are sometimes not happy with the fact that we've got this eternal promise because we want to be like the rest of the world. And we want a different king. And we want aspects of another kingdom to come and come back into our lives when actually we are those that have already been set apart with a different promise that nobody else has. And so what happens is they say to Samuel, hey, we want a king like that of the other nations. And he goes to God and God says, well, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. So give them this king, but tell them this king will demand his pound of flesh. So what he's saying is he's going to give them a king. God will give them a king. He's giving them over to the desires of their heart because he's a God that gives free choice. Free, like you've got a choice. This morning you've got a choice to make. And so he gives them this king, and we all know the rest of the story. This king eventually becomes a corrupt king, and he does not follow God in all his ways, and he demands his pound of flesh from the people that he's leading. Some of us don't have an issue in our lives based on something that is just happening to us. Some of us have the wrong king on the throne of our hearts, and we are trying to keep that thing, that king there, and we are trying to also have another king in certain parts of our hearts whenever we are needing him to be there and wherever we are needing to make some small adjustments. And this morning, I feel like we need to kick a king off his throne that's not meant to be there and let Jesus become the king of our hearts fully. That scripture carries on. So this morning, before I carry on, who is king? It's very easy for you to say that. It's an easy thing to say. His kingdom comes first. His kingdom is, can I just tell you, when it says, but seek first his kingdom, it's not saying seek first church life. If you can tick the boxes of church life and community and having coffee with people two, three times a week, you're seeking his kingdom. His kingdom is not a building or a people. His kingdom is a person. It's Jesus. His righteousness. It's a person. Seek first his kingdom means he is there first, central. And the second question is, where's your treasure? When we carry on reading further on that passage, it says this, verse 19. We ended at verse, oh no, this is somewhere else. This is before. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Matthew 6, verse 19, sorry. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eyes is the lamp. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, and this is the key. No one can serve two masters. I said to someone earlier, another group that I was sharing with before, I think if you ever want to get a tattoo, and I'm not advocating tattoos, don't get tattoos, but I know people always want to get markings on their bodies for the sake of whatever. I think what you should put there is no one can serve two masters. I think the thing that needs to be on your mirror in the morning when you brush your teeth and the thing you need to look at before you make any decisions today is no one can serve two masters. I cannot serve two masters. It means today I need to make decisions that means I cannot serve two masters. I serve one. It's the thing that we need to be aware of all the time. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And I just want to say, this is not just to do with money. This principle has got to do with your identity. It's got to do with the way that you plan your future. It's got to do with the way that you set up your comfort. It's got to do with the way you try to hold on to things that are not yours to hold on to. It's all of those things. And as I said earlier, I believe that there's aspects for us that we need to really just look at our lives in and go, Lord, where have I allowed another master to come into my life that I'm serving? I'm trying to hold on to an aspect of something else that is actually opposing who you are. It's working against you. And why a treasure? Who's the treasure? Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. So what's the price tag of a field where the treasure is? The price tag's everything. It's actually everything. And here's the thing. Some of us here this morning may not have responded to the gospel yet. A few of us, and I pray that even now while I'm sharing with you, the Lord and the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and provoking you and doing something in your heart. But for those of us that have responded to the gospel is Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and he died on a cross so that his blood may be shed for your sins. He's the perfect sacrifice so that you no longer have to pay the price for your sins. That's the gospel, and that all who would believe that he is the Son of God and he died on the cross for your sins, though they will be saved. That's the gospel. But you see, the thing is, some of us have responded to the gospel, but we are yet to become disciples of Jesus. Becoming a disciple, it looks different, because the moment you become a disciple, there's a cost to your old life. It costs you. It's not easy. However, when it's in Jesus, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, some of us are trying to be a disciple, but we're yet to let go of our old lives. We still got our old lives. I want aspects of my old life. And we don't understand, why am I always going around the same mountain? Why am I always facing the same issues? Why am I always needing to have coffee with the elders or the leaders for the same reasons? It's not a sin issue, it's a king issue. There's a kingdom issue. And I said to Dan and the leaders yesterday, I'm really tired of connecting with people around the same things over and over, because we're just dealing with symptoms all the time. We need to go down to the root. But the question is, for you dealing with the same issues, are you willing to go to the root? Or do you want to keep entertaining it and just find a way to cope through life with something that you've actually been set free from already? There's a greater promise than the stuff that holds you back. There's something far, far more valuable. But are you willing? Because I can sit with you and your leaders can sit with you and they can convince you momentarily why you should behave better than the way you are behaving right now according to your old life. And you'll hold on to a good concept and good principle for maybe 2 or 3 weeks and you'll get it right in your own flesh. But the problem is you'll get tired from it because Jesus hasn't set you free, because Jesus hasn't become king in that area in your life. And then they're going to have to sit 2 or 3 weeks later and have to reconvince you about the same thing again. And it's just over and over, same thing. And the people are never moving forward in the things of God. I mean, who's tired of that? Are you not tired of that? Do you not want real freedom? I mean, I'm in a place of my life where I go, I mean, I'm only 40-something and I'm very young still. And it's, no, I am. It's young. I'm not just convincing myself. It is. And I'm thinking, I'm not promised to live to 70. Or 75. It's not a promise. Like it's maybe. But geez, man, I don't want to spend the next 5 years going through the same things. If there's a reoccurring issue in my life, I want to look at the root of that issue, and I want to where Jesus needs to become king. I want to say, Lord, forgive me. I need to repent. Oh, I need to lose my life in this area. I'm trying to hold on to an old life. Oh, what am I doing? Oh, Jesus, forgive me. Thank you for new life. You see, because letting go of your old life is not suffering, man. It's the beginning of life. It's when we always see letting go of our old lives, and all we ever talk about is the way that you need to get uncomfortable and die and do this, and it's like gloomy and doomy. But geez, man, there's a Savior that has saved you for a kingdom and a kingdom purpose and for a treasure and a promise that's far greater and far outweighs the rubbish that you keep on circling around at the moment. Far outweighs. We need to speak about the promise in Him. That's why we have this desire. Like, can a people not just begin to see God and see Jesus and see who He is and not just relate to Him based on the issues that He's sorting out, but go, no, He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so there's certain conversations that are just settled. You don't have to talk to me again about me, like, being faithful with my finances, because why wouldn't I? He's King. You don't have to talk to me again about sexual sin, because He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's conversations that these guys, they're going to surf a lot more in the week, more. And they're going to be bored. He's going to have to go back to work to do stuff. Like, we are over and over doing the same things. And man, you've got everything inside of you already to actually find life and life in abundance. That's the radical gospel. We've got to stop entertaining rubbish in our lives. Like, I said to the leaders yesterday, like, you need to be careful not to become a life coach. You need to be careful not to want life coaches that help you cope with your old life while trying to find a new life. You cannot have both. Today, you've got to make a decision. You've got to make a choice. The one will always oppose the other. Always, always, always. Then Jesus said to His disciples, this is what it means to be a disciple, by the way. When Jesus said to His disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life will find it. What good will it be for some to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Losing your life is, in a sense, just you constantly trying to hold on to something, and it leaves you in this place of turmoil, this place of like discontentment, this place of a lack of faith, this place of a, and you go like this. You're like a boat on stormy waters. Sometimes you're up high, sometimes you're down. Sometimes you're navigating wind well, sometimes the wind's against you. And it's always this up and down, back and forth. I said to you earlier, I'm tired of up and down and back and forth. I want to be able to say, no matter what, Jesus, you are Lord, you are King. And the season's not suddenly becoming easy and just going away, but the truth and the reality is that you are Lord. And I was thinking earlier, standing next to Eric, I mean, we've been friends for 20-something years. if not longer. I was his best man. No, he was my best man first. But then I think he forgot that he was my best man first. Then he asked me to be his best man. And so I got to do his bachelor's. That was way better. But we've done some life together, and unfortunately, just due to life, we haven't seen one another as much as I would have liked to, or been in contact as much, because life happens, and stuff happens. And I was just thinking about our journey and our separate journeys, and I know, like, to me, life has happened to me. Life has happened to him. But irrespective of how life has happened to us, today we can stand together in the presence of the Lord, worshiping with saints together corporately, and there's one truth that is a truth above all. He's Lord and he's King of Kings, no matter what we've gone through or what's going on or what might still happen or what might still come at us. That is a truth. It's a perspective and it's a lens that I worship him right now, because my kids are at home. They're sick. They've got fevers. We're not with them. The one was in hospital last week. My kids are facing secular schools for the first time in their lives, and they're being struck with like worldliness that they've been sheltered from for all their years, and suddenly they've got to navigate that. There's challenges we're facing in our lives, but I can stand here in the presence of the Lord saying, Jesus, you are good and you are holy and you are wonderful, no matter what is going on in our lives right now. Why? Because his kingdom and his righteousness is what I seek every day of my life. It leads me and brings me to a place where I can go, Lord, your kingdom comes first and your righteousness must come first in my life. My comfort in Richards Bay, living 900 meters from the beach, and I just touch base with the elders that I lead now and then, and now and then I travel to another congregation. This cannot be my life, because here is another kingdom beginning to take root in my heart, and I do not want it. Your kingdom come first. There's got to be more. And you know what? It doesn't lead me to a place of fluffy clouds and green pastures. It leads me to a place where I'm on my knees saying, dear God, I need your help. But I'm in a place where he's king. That's where I want to live. And I live with a sense of faith every day. And no matter what life throws at me, I know he's there. And I know that his word says, do not worry. It's a reality for me. Don't you want it to be a reality for you? It's a promise, but it comes to decision. There are some things that you need to decide about. For some of you this morning, there's some tough calls you got to make, man. There's some decisions you got to make. This book here on the horizon, this girl that suddenly pops up in your life, man, she's not going to help you see Jesus and his kingdom as central in your life. She's distracting you. You're busy selling off a part of the field where you found a treasure. This career, this worry about finances, your debt, your whatever it is, don't sell off parts of your field and let go of a treasure. Do you get what I'm saying to you? Some of you need to make hard choices this morning.